This is Radio Superior 1952, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in, the water's fine. This is your host, Tim Michaels. It's Wednesday, September 10th, 1952. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news from yesterday's primary election, and Rapid Ray has the sports. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by F.S. Kelly Furniture, with door storage refrigerators from Philco for $189. Now, Lou Martin with tonight's news.
Thanks, Tim, and good evening, listeners. McCarthy wins the Republican primary in a landslide, which supporters say is from concern of communists infiltrating government. We begin our world report from Milwaukee.
This is Don Whitehead in Milwaukee. A jubilant Senator Joseph R. McCarthy is the landslide winner today of Wisconsin's GOP senatorial nomination. He calls his victory an endorsement of his campaign to rid the government of subversive forces. He promised all-out support to Republican presidential nominee Dwight D. Eisenhower and pledged to the voters he would continue his communist in government charges, which some people regard as the act of a patriot and others see as smear tactics. But there is no truce between McCarthy and his challenger, Len Schmidt. Schmidt is charging that McCarthy had won the primary through, quoting, an amazing and fraudulent hoax perpetrated on the voters. The result of this election is an appalling thing. When the full truth dawns, people will recall their support of Joseph R. McCarthy with shame. Unquote. Seeking his second term, the 42-year-old senator brushed this attack aside by saying, quote, the people of Wisconsin have spoken for me. They have given full endorsement to my campaign to rid the government of subversive forces that would destroy it, unquote. McCarthy won with 536,000 votes to Schmidt's 210,000. McCarthy's opponent in November will be Democrat Thomas Fairchild of Verona. In Milwaukee, this is Don Whitehead reporting.
This is Hightower in Washington. General Dwight Eisenhower wound up his Midwest campaign tour today with promises of hearty support in so-called Taft territory. Police estimate at least 500,000 Hoosiers turned out to welcome the Republican presidential nominee yesterday in Indianapolis. That was his last stop before flying here to Washington today for a brief chat with the GOP National Committee. He will continue on by plane to New York this afternoon. Indiana, like Ohio, gave its support to Senator Robert Taft of Ohio for the presidential nomination at the Republican National Convention in Chicago last July. But in both states, Eisenhower won pledges of all-out support from party leaders, with the notable exception of Taft himself. Hitting the Democratic administration of President Truman is one that, quote, fumbled and stumbled and falls flat on its face every couple of weeks. Why, my distinguished opponent is using every trick in the book to get himself off the hook of the present administration's record. Meanwhile, Governor Adlai Stevenson stood solidly on the foreign policy of the Truman administration today and, with a warning of peril, outlined a program for action in Asia. Stevenson told a nationwide television and radio audience from San Francisco, quote, America is threatened as never before. The way to avert it is to give material aid to the new nations of Asia, to recognize their desire for independence, and to show them that the United States is not pursuing a policy of domination, unquote. Speaking with unusual seriousness, the Democratic candidate for president said, quote, I do not think war is an inevitable part of this contest between freedom and tyranny. I believe we may in time look back at Korea as a major turning point in history, a turning point which leads not to another war, but to the first historic demonstration that an effective system of collective security is possible. In Washington, this is John Hightower speaking.
This is Max Jordan with the Republic of Korea Forces. Battle-hardened South Korea infantrymen recaptured Capitol Hill in a wild night bayonet charge and then threw back counterattacking Chinese at daybreak today. U.S. 8th Army staff officer says, quote, ROK troops are on that hill to stay. unquote. In 5 days of vicious close-in fighting for the Central Front Hill, troops of the crack capital division have killed or wounded at least 2,300 Chinese, according to the 8th Army. That is nearly the equivalent of a Red Regiment. Fighting for the hill has produced the heaviest communist artillery barrages of the war. 8th Army Commander General James Van Fleet says the shelling here at the front amazes him. With ROK forces at the Central Front, this is Max Jordan.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Tim Michaels has this message from F.S. Kelly Furniture.
Boy, do we have a great value for you in door storage refrigerators. How about this? A big 7.3 cubic foot Philco with all of the little features. Added space on the door for foods you use most often. The Philco 723, here it is, the new value sensation in door storage refrigerators, gives you twice as much front row space, a full 7.3 cubic foot New Key Largo color, full width crimper, full width freezer compartment. Liberal trade-in allowance, this special model, $189.95. Remember, you'll do better at F.S. Kelly Furniture Company, and we prove it every day, 1302 Tower Avenue in Superior.
Voters gave District Attorney John Chisholm the necessary votes to help him win the Republican nomination for Douglas County DA. Chisholm defeated Clarence Gradine. Sheriff Elton Eckroth is on his way out in front over the Republican write-in opponent. But voters in Douglas County voted evenly for Senator Joseph McCarthy and his Republican opponent, Leonard Schmidt. It's not the case in the rest of Wisconsin, where McCarthy easily won renomination. John Powell has that story from Madison.
Iowa Senator Hickenlooper says McCarthy's renomination is a magnificent tribute to his outstanding work against communism and the subversive elements in government. Hickenlooper is one of the two Republicans on the five-man Senate subcommittee which investigated McCarthy's charges of communist influences in the State Department and government. Democratic Senator Green of Rhode Island, the nation's oldest senator at 85, told reporters McCarthy's victory is, quote, bad for Wisconsin and bad for the country, unquote. McCarthy's colleague, Republican Senator Alexander Wiley, calls it a resounding triumph and predicted McCarthy would win easily in November. Unopposed candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor, William Proxmire, says Senator McCarthy's victory, quote, proved the fight for dignity and decency in Wisconsin cannot be won in the Republican Party. We Wisconsin Democrats are under no illusions about the November battle. After yesterday's primary election, I think it is a fair statement that no state party in all America faces the challenge that confronts us. It will be a tough uphill race against the demagoguery with a sledgehammer kick. But if anyone thinks we will kick or evade or pussyfoot around the issue of McCarthyism, let him think again. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
This is Mike Simonson. In one of the closest second district assembly races in the history of Douglas County, former city councilman Lawrence Hagen edged out incumbent Charles Nelson for the Republican nomination by two votes, 1,548 to 1,546, with all 43 precincts in. Nelson has served two terms in the state legislature, first elected in 1948. The late Roy Guest, board supervisor from Gordon, who died suddenly on the eve of Election Day, also received 107 votes. In the first district, in which the present Assemblyman Brian Ospie chose not to run for re-election, City Council President Clyde Thomas is the victor for the GOP nod. In a sweeping victory throughout the 10th Congressional District, Republican incumbent Alvin O.K. Okonski of Mercer took a better than 2-1 lead over his opponent Clayton Hicks of Phillips in the GOP race. Winning the Ashland County vote is B.J. Gehrman of Mellon with 3,000 votes over Thomas Uptegrove of Ashland. Grandview Republican Vic Wallen is the Bayfield County nominee with 2,075 votes. He'll vie for the Assembly seat in November with Bayfield Democrat Rudolph Anich. Burnett Washburn Assembly races gave 2,300 votes to Republican Assemblyman Holger Rasmussen of Spooner. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. Minnesota top Republican office holders Senator Edward J. Thigh and Governor C. Elmer Anderson won renomination. DFL endorsee Orville Freeman will oppose Governor Anderson in November. Manitowoc voters voted down a city council ordinance to fluoridate the water. The council adopted the fluoridation plan in April, but petitions were filed to repeal it. Finally, good listeners, the story of a youngster searching for birds. Superior firemen were called at 512 North 11th Street on a report that a boy was stuck in a tree. After getting the six-year-old down with a letter and telling his new heroes that he was looking for birds, the youth fled, like a bird in flight. Firemen didn't even get the kid's name. Tim.
I'll bet his name is either Robin or Jay. Thanks, Lou. Hey, let's check that forecast for this Wednesday evening, September 10th, 1952. Showers for tonight and tomorrow. Look for a low of 55 and a high tomorrow of 72 degrees. Well, let's kick things off with a favorite of all the boys who climb trees. Here's Roy Rogers and Hi-Yo on the Tim Michaels Giddy Up Ride Home Show.
Hi-Yo, Silver! Away! Horses come and horses go, but there's one that you all know. People greet him with acclaim, Silver is his name. Give me the reins, there's pep in my veins, onward westward ho. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Over the trail, hill or dale, swift as wind we'll go. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, we must prevent that crime. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, we'll get there in the nick of time. Under the sky we will fly, hunting we will go. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. And we will go. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. You never fail, so burn up the trail to her bungalow. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, I'll punch the villain well. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, cause the ornery cussed and rung my knell. Silver, old boy, I'm full of joy, cause she said no. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Up your heels, automobiles, can't get where we go. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. You're a good steed, so give me some speed. Come on, don't be slow. Hi-yo, Silver, hi-yo. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. We'll stop to pick up Tonto. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. We're sure to get these bandits from. Who said thrillers? Get those killers. The mortgage we must pay. Hi-yo, Silver.
Hi-yo, Silver.
Hi-yo, Silver, away.
Hi-yo, Silver.
Roy Rogers and Hi-yo on the Ride Home Show. Tim Michaels here to tell you all about a real high-flying deal. Wisconsin Central Airlines now has three flights a day from Duluth to Minneapolis. Get this. Takes just 57 minutes to get there from here. And that's not all. Wisconsin Central has one daily flight to Chicago. Flight time? Just 4 hours and you're in the Windy City. Call Pantour Travel at 6046 today. Well, here's Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly and True Love, which every red-blooded American male has for Grace Kelly.
Suntan, wind blown, honeymooners at last alone. Feelings far above par. Oh, how lucky we are. While I give to you and you give to me, love. So on and on it'll all
have a guardian angel on high with nothing to do but to give to you and to give to me love forever. For you and I have a guardian angel on high with nothing to do but to give to you and to give to me love.
Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly with True Love on the Evening Ride Home on KUWS.
Hey, McCorkle. Hey, you're not McCorkle. Where's McCorkle?
Colonel Raffley, I presume?
What do you mean, you're presume? What kind of name is that? And where's the cue ball?
Well, he's in the Twin Cities on TV. He's working for KSDP.
The KGB? I knew it. Ruski. Ruski
no,
spy.
No. KSTP, it's a television station.
McConkle on television? Who on earth would hire him at a place where people have to look at him? I mean, let's face it. McScrabble has a face made for radio.
That's the general consensus around here, too.
Go figure.
I mean, McCrackle belongs on radio. He belongs here.
Sounds like you miss him.
No. No, I just kind of got used to him. And who's this fella? With the weird, you know, kind of, he's got big ears with a face only a mother could love.
I'm McMichael, Tim McMichael.
And you're here tonight, Colonel, because?
I'm doing my patriotic duty, McMartin. Me, some of the guys down at the Legion are dropping off loyalty oaths at local businesses. I'm not sure if this place is a business or an asylum, but I thought I'd drop off a bunch anyway.
Loyalty oaths? A bunch of hooey, if you ask me.
KUWS radio engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio.
Hooey, loyalty oaths, hooey. Since when did you stop being a God-fearing, loyal American, Gardonio?
How come he's not Mick Gardonio?
He's already Swedish and Italian. Irish would be too much.
I'll have you know, I'm as much of a God-fearing, loyal American as anyone around. We engineers are known for our courage and sacrifice for our country.
Then why don't you sign this loyalty oath?
First of all, signing a piece of paper doesn't prove anything.
Not signing it proves you're a pinko.
Pinko? Look, bub, you calling me a pinko?
Pinko.
Which makes him pinkos.
So, Colonel, you must be happy that Senator McCarthy won the primary.
I like everything about the man. Good name, good American, but bad eyebrows. They look like hairy caterpillars.
Eyebrows?
Yeah, and he's lousy at math. How many card-carrying communists who work in government does he have absolute proof are working in the State Department now?
He's got lots and lots and lots.
By lots and lots and lots, do you mean the 203 he originally said or the 81 he later claimed? Maybe it was the 57 he most recently claimed.
He was misquoted. All I know is Tail Gunner Joe has commies in his sights, and me and the boys down at the Legion are squarely behind him. Thus, these loyalty oaths.
Those are simply a ruse, my dear Colonel, to stifle meaningful political dissent and opposition.
Don't call me dear.
Music time?
Please.
Thanks, Colonel. Let's hear Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land on what's becoming a bumpy evening ride home.
land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling. Voice was chanting as the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, the dust clouds rolling, the voice coming chanting, and the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me.
Woody Guthrie and his anthem from last year, This Land Is Your Land. Now the sport of sports, Rapid Ray Paulson.
Well, thanks, young man. Boy, that baseball pennant race is really shaping up, fans. The Yankees hold a skimpy one-game lead over Cleveland following last night's 4-3 loss to the Browns of St. Louis, and the Indians' 6-1 triumph over Bobby Shanks and the Athletics of Philadelphia. And whoa, Nelly, Brooklyn's Dodgers, seemingly safe 10.5-game lead over New York, has dwindled to just 4 after the Giants thrashed the Pittsburgh Pirates 11-4. At Ebbets Field, former bum Doc Fondy and Toby Atwell proved the big hatchet men as knuckleballer Warren Hacker held Brooklyn to 7 hits. Fondy smashed a triple, and Atwell added a single in the Cubbies' 5-run fourth. Early Wynn pitched his 20th win for the Indians' 6th straight triumph. A dozen Giant hits, including homers by Monty Irvin, Don Mueller, and Alvin Dark, helped rookie Bill Connolly rack up his 5th win since joining the club in mid-August. And how's this for an idea, sport fans? Stop keeping track of the medal count in the Olympics. That idea from International Olympic Committee President Avery Brundage. Sounds like a bunch of horse feathers to National Amateur Athletic Union President Doug Roby. Roby says that just because the American team didn't do so well in the 1952 Olympics this year, they should buckle down and come up with a better team in 56, or Russia will beat us again.
I heard that. The commies, they cheat and everybody knows it.
They do grow the men big over there in the Soviet Union.
Women, too. They all have beards.
Well, I happen to prefer large ladies, but not with beards.
And stay away from my wife.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Anyway, Colonel, the argument will be hammered out over the next 4 years, and this sportscaster is wagering the U.S. will produce its strongest team ever for 1956 in Australia. Russia may have rained on our parade in Helsinki this year.
Cheated!
But America won't take that lying down.
Oh, sir.
Mr. Brundage's argument is that the Olympics will degenerate into a nationalistic competition instead of the spirit of amateur competition the Olympics is supposed to be. On the other hand, Mr. Roby says we saw a red danger signal in Helsinki, and the red was Russia. Human nature being what it is, I say the odds are with Roby. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that Everyone loves a good sport. Tim?
I bet that Roby signed a whole bunch of loyalty oaths.
Well, thanks, Ray. Here's our last number of the night. 4.
Now, that's funny.
I don't get it.
All right, here's a favorite of everyone's. This is Joe Stafford in Blue Moon on the Ride Home Show.
Suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms will ever hold. I heard somebody whisper, "Please adore me." And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold.
Joe Stafford and Blue Moon on the Ride Home. Well, that's it for tonight.
Say, I haven't seen anyone sign this loyalty oath yet, and I'm not leaving till I have everyone's, and I mean everyone's, Jim Hancock on it.
Well, I'll sign it, I guess. I don't see the harm.
They made everybody sign it at CBS, even Ed Murrow.
Now, just wait a doggone minute, guys. First we sign this, then we sign that, and then we have to prove this, and then we have to prove that. Then before you know it, our mothers are demanding we move out of the house.
What?
Sorry, that slipped. What I'm trying to say is, this is America. We should be able to believe in our own country without signing oaths or litmus tests.
I hate tests.
Before you know it, being a citizen of this great free republic won't be enough to be able to vote and enjoy liberty and privacy. No, siree, Bob. The republic for which we stand, for which our forefathers committed treason to have a clean break from Great Britain so they, no matter how rich or poor, how high or low, no matter of creed or political party...
Skinny or fat,
red-headed or bald,
Cubs fan or White Sox fan...
can have a voice as loud as the next guy's. No, I say. Stand up to tyranny. Stand up, I say, and reject intrusion in our personal lives. Let our deeds speak louder than a mere shred of paper.
Yeah, here, here. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Colonel Hawk, I'm here clapping, too. What gives?
Well, the colonel can get inspired, too, you know. I didn't fight in WW1 for nothing.
But you never back down. You never admit you're wrong.
It's probably not a good time to remind him of that.
You don't have to sign this thing. I just thought as a member of the station bowling team, you'd want to sign it.
Well, what does I state that I am not a member of the Communist Party or any other organization which advocates the overthrow of the government by force have to do with bowling?
Let me see that.
It's got everything to do with bowling. You sign it, and you're committed for the Winter League at Central Lanes.
This is a bowling loyalty oath?
Yeah, I mean, well, I've got the kind Skinny was talking about, too. But the boys down at the Legion want to make sure we have a good league this year. You know, no chicken forfeit.
Well, once again, a happy ending. Stay tuned for Johnny Dollar, What's My Line, and Steve Allen. For Lou and Ray and the gang, this is Tim Michaels, hoping the good Lord watches over you and there are no forfeits in bowling league this winter.
Well, you better believe I'll sign up. We're going to take you and your Legion buddies to the cleaners this year.
Which I hope means that you'll wash your bowling shirts this year.
Stiff bowling shirts are a sign of tough, strong men.
You know, the kind that make your eyes water?
Hey, you're right.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1952, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen. All events reported on Radio Superior 1952 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.